for me to express my deep appreciation for the privilege to stand in this pulpit. And the pulpits that God has let me stand in for these many years. Only God knows my gratitude. I'm grateful, Brother James, for the privilege of being here. I do not take this lightly. For you preachers that have come tonight, you bless and honor my heart. I thank you for coming. May God richly bless each of you for taking time out to come and be in what I pray will be an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, God-sent, gully-washer revival. I pray for that. I don't want no meeting. If you're here for a meeting, let's go on. I've had it with all the meetings I can handle. But I want a revival. I want something with a touch of God on it. You don't want that, then you're missing something bad. Oh, how we need a revival. America needs something tonight like we've never needed in all of our life. And may you and I pray that God will give us this week a breath from heaven that we might see God move in a special, special way. Now, I'll say some things, and this will be the last time I'll say it, and I want you to listen. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I want you to listen. Now, out on the table, I started not to bring them because we had so few of them, but this was the last ones that we had. We have a devotion book. I was called from Ohio to ask me if I would contribute some devotions. I believe I have 30 in here. I'm not sure. I believe there's 30 in this book. Devotions for your daily reading. A lot of folks ask me, I believe there's the one in there about the day my dad got saved. And there's others that I believe you'll enjoy. I believe this one, and I believe there's four out on the table for $20. This will be a good addition to your library. It's a beautiful book. The name of it is Jewels for the Journey. And I believe it'll be a blessing. Somebody saw the books out there, and they saw my cowboy hat and said, if I buy a book, do I get the hat? You keep your cotton picking hands off my hat. Amen? It don't go with the books. Amen. Somebody asked me why I wear a cowboy hat. Said, now, preacher said, I saw those Indians and cowboys on the movies and said, the Indians always got killed. Said, why did you start wearing a cowboy hat? I said, if you can't whip them, join them. Amen. Let's get in there with them. So they've got five, I believe, of the books for $20 that you might enjoy. I believe you will. Let me say something now I want you to pray for my daughter. She spent 5 days in the hospital, came home, had to go back to the hospital. She came home again and had to go back again to the hospital the day just before I left. Joyce, I'd like for you to pray for her tonight. Pray that God would see fit to touch her and heal her. I pray for my girls. I pray for my family. Now, something else that I might say that recently a young preacher did not understand, and I want to say this in such a proper manner that you will understand it. I don't want you to misunderstand it. I'm 78 years old. I've traveled all around the country and around much of the world, and my health is gone. My health is gone. I have a pacemaker here. I have congestive heart failure. And if you see me stop, pause during the message, it's not for dramatics. It's to get my breath. And I found out breathing is real important. You just almost got to do it. So here's something that I want to say. A lot of time when younger preachers, you younger men will run out and you'll run down to Shoney's and you'll eat and sit there and talk half the night. Don't ask me to go. I ain't a-going. I'm going to the motel and lay down and rest. And I wish I could. I wish I was able to go, but I'm not just able. I'm not antisocial. I wish I could, but I'm just not able. Now, the young preacher I was telling you about, he didn't understand that. He got all puffed up and said, well, I got you down here for fellowship. I said, well, lay down that other bed over the side of me, and I'll go to sleep. Amen. He can yak all night if he wants to, but I'm going to sleep, amen? All right. So don't get mad if you say, well, let's go out and have something to eat. Go ahead, help yourself. I'm going to the motel, amen. Amen. I'm glad to be with you. I appreciate you coming tonight to be with us. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. The book of Judges. You know something else, too. A lot of folks, I use an outline in my preaching. One young preacher said said, do you use an outline? I said, why, sure, I use an outline all the time. Well, he said, I never do. You know, kind of drew himself up tall. I said, well, the last time I heard you, you ought to use one, amen. But a lot of you preachers see my outline book and you see my cover and you get very envious, amen. There's a lady here that makes these for preachers. Sister Hill, she don't play the guitar, left-handed or otherwise. Stand up, Kathy. Stand up. Now, don't fuss at me. Stand up. She's the one that makes our outline covers. And you ought to see her. She ought to sell about 100 here tonight. Amen. Open your Bibles, the book of Judges, and we're reading tonight from Judges chapter 16. Chapter 16. Let's stand together, please. Want to begin reading, if I may. Let me tell you this just before I read, and you stand there a minute because you've been sitting for a while. I remember as a child, as a boy, one of my heroes in the Bible was Samson. I mean, I had a mental picture of Samson. I mean, I had him, great big muscles. Oh, just... Here was a man that could just pick up a gate. Now, I don't mean just a little bitty picket fence gate. I mean a gate of the city. Pick it up and carry it off. Amen? And one day, one very unlucky lion met Samson in the road. And old brother Samson just took him, run his hand in his jaw, ripped him apart. I dig that man. That's one cool dude. Amen? I had me a picture of Samson. Oh, his ears even had muscles. He was a man's man. Oh, we're talking about man. I had this picture. Do you folks remember, Snow, I look at this young crowd tonight, you don't remember much of nothing. But I remember used to, when I was a kid, they had a card class in Sunday school. Any of you remember the card class? That's what I thought. Just kids. And the card class, it had a little card they gave out to the kids about that and about so long. And it had a picture of one of the Bible characters on the card and a little bitty biographical sketch about him. Aunt Maggie McClure was my teacher. Aunt Maggie was our teacher. Well, one day she passed out our cards. And I looked at the picture and almost had cardiac arrest. It said under the picture, Samson. That was the puniest looking character I've ever looked at in my life. I could have whipped him. If I ever saw a man that needed Hattie Call, he did. He was one sick-looking dude. And I said to Aunt Maggie, something wrong here. I mean, there's somebody made a drastic error. Oh, Aunt Maggie, somebody done messed up. And she said, Ed, what's the matter? I told Aunt Maggie, I said, he carried a gate off. He killed a lion. He tied foxes to... I mean, this was a real man. Look at that fella. He ain't nothing. That blessed Sunday school teacher sat down by my side, put her arm around me, and read a verse I've never forgot. It said, and the power of the Lord came upon him. It's not our muscles or our brain. I see a lot of preachers that try to exhibit great intelligence. If you've got anything to tell anybody, it'll be God. Not you. So now I'm going to read a little bit and bring a message, about 20 minutes, and then I'll sit down and I'll be give out. In Judges chapter 16 and verse 6, and Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Our Father, use this unworthy preacher, God, for a few minutes, and may somebody get something out of it that they can take home with them. For Jesus' sake I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Here was Samson in a great dilemma. But let us not forget the threatenings that had come upon his wife if she did not find out wherein Samson's strength was at. There was great threats made against her and her family. She had to find out. She must find out where Samson's strength lies. But notice the verse of Scripture. She said, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, wherewith thou mightest be bound." Her objective was to find some way to bind this mighty, mighty giant for God. She had to bind him. She had to bring him into captivity. She had to do something that would make him weak and like other men are. She said, "Samson, I've got to know. I want to know where you..." Well, you know how he teased her and said, "If you'll get some green withes and bind me, I'll be just like other men." And you know that was just all Samson teasing her and all of that. Eventually, Samson wearied with her questioning and gave in to her pursuit to find out where his strength lieth. And he told her the secret, that it was in his hair. He was not a hippie. I want you to get that. He was not. He had a vow. He had a vow. But notice, if you will, she had one objective: to find some way to bind him. And you know, it's strange today, the devil still has that objective. There are many of you right now that the devil has bound. I want to preach on a simple outline tonight. I want to preach about this. What's got you all tied up? What is it that the devil has used for some of you to be so ineffective in your pursuit of the will of God? There are many right now, I say alas and sorry, I might have said, but there are many preachers, amen, that the devil has in his grasp and has them well tied up. Now let me hurry into the outline, lest I not be able to finish. First of all, there is something that the devil uses: little insignificant things, little things, little bitty thing, to get you all tied up and make you ineffective for God. Did you know one day, I never will forget, we were riding to church, our girls in the back, and Miss Blue and I driving along, and she all of a sudden, here I am heading to the house of God, trying to get ready to preach, and all trying to find the message God wanted me. And all of a sudden, my dear wife said, "Did I turn the coffee pot off?" There went my message out the window. See, the devil, any little thing that he can do or say or make you think or get you all stirred up about, that's exactly what he wants to do. There's one thing he uses so effectively, and that's worry. Oh, God, I wonder what's going on. Lord, have mercy. I don't know what I'm... Oh, my. Hello? Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, how profound, how strikingly true. God said, I don't want you to go around worrying your head off. I don't want you to go around worrying yourself sick. He said, turn it over to me. The Bible said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You say, I haven't got it figured out yet. Let God do the driving. Let God do the driving. These things that's happening to you right now, you may not understand them. You may not know why. But I'm saying tonight, God knows exactly what He's doing. Amen. Worry. Worry. So many folks right now are eat up with worry. Their lives is a wreck. They worry about this and they worry about that. Here a worry, there a worry, everywhere a worry, worry. Amen. They just go around constantly chewing their fingernails, agonizing. Oh, I've got to figure this out. I just don't know what in the world I'm going to do. Oh, God. And it will not do one thing in the world but just make you so weak and sick and not be able to be used. Am I right? Amen. I received a letter from Louisiana today on email. I got this letter. Oh, right down the closing part of it. The lady said in the letter, preacher, pray for my son. Pray for my son. He's an atheist. He's an evolutionist. And she went on and told how her son had just fallen into this great depth of sin and doubt and denying God. And right down at the bottom of the letter, she said, I know my God makes no mistakes. Amen? Here's a mother, her son laughs at her for serving God. And there's some of you right now that would go berserk, but God still knows what He's doing. Amen? And she said, just join me in prayer for my son. Oh, folks, your worry's not going to do one dab of good. Sit around and worry. Then there's something else the devil gets you all tied up. There's one thing that he uses so effectively, and that's the guilt of the past. Well, I think it's good preaching. There's not a one of you sitting here right now that does not have a past. Hello? And the wallpaper would fall off of the walls if it was just said what the past of all of us are. Do we not have a past? Hello? We all have a past. But I want to say to you right now, if you're sitting here tonight knowing that your sins have been washed in the blood of Christ, you can say, my sins are gone. They're washed away, and He's forgot all about them. He said, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're gone. Started not to do it, but I'm going to. There's a little story. I've told it hundreds of times. And if you've heard it, act like you never did. It's been one of the great miles. I think I told it the last time I was here. But I'm going to tell it again. We worry about the guilt. The devil ties us up and said, oh, God can't use you. Well, look what you used to be. Look what you done. It don't make no difference. It's what God's made out of you now. I used to pastor. Oh, God. I used to pastor and I remember we was having a revival in this little town I was pastoring in, and one night the town prostitute got saved. The hooker got saved. Boy, she got, I don't mean she got religion, she got in. She got in, boy. And you know, oh, she was so thrilled. She came up to me after church that night and said, "Now, Preacher Blue, I really got saved, and I want to do something for the Lord. I want to get to work in the church." Did you ever say something and wish you never had? I said, "Well, why don't you sing in the choir tomorrow night?" Bad mistake. Our old brother that led the choir that next night, boy, here she was right in the middle of the choir. Our brother had the best choir. He led it so eloquently. Man, he down, left, right. Oh, he knew how. But boy, that night when they started, suddenly, I never heard a sound like that in my life. And it was coming from her. Honestly, it sounded like somebody was sawing a person's arm off and hadn't put them to sleep. The babies cried in the nursery. And it was across the street. Everybody in the house looked and, oh, here she was with her head thrown back and tears are streaming and her mouth open and the awfulest sound I've ever heard in my life. Painful. Two old ladies almost passed out. It was hard on their nerve system. That prostitute was singing victory in Jesus because she knew what she was singing about. It was awful. My choir director said that night after service, said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "Sing louder." I remember, bless her heart, I never will forget. She came around to me about a week or so later and said, "Preacher, I've got to have a job. I never have been nothing but a prostitute. I've got to have a job." An old boy standing there, he owned a hosiery mill that makes men's hosiery. And he said, "Well, Mary, I'll give you a job." Oh, she said, "Will you?" She said, "I never have had a job before." He said, "I'll give you a job." She went to work for him. About two or three days later, she called me on the phone one morning early, weeping. See, the devil was bringing up her past. The devil was telling her what she had been, what she used to be, and all that. And the devil does that to me, and I'm sure he does it to you. Amen? And you know the sad thing about it? He's telling the truth. All of us used to be sinners. Now we're sinners saved by grace. She called me and said, "Preacher," she was just crying. I said, "What's wrong, Mary?" She said, "Oh, Preacher Blue," said, "on my way to my new job, Clyde gave me," said, "I passed a motel I used to take my customers that were buying sex from me. And said, every time I get to that motel, the devil screams in my ear and said, 'Ha, ah, look what you used to do.' Said, and here you are calling yourself a Christian. Why, you sorry old thing. Why, God can't use you." Devil ever do you that way? I'm going to. She said, "Preacher, I think I'll just quit. Think I'll quit. Because I'm no good." She is tying her up with the guilt of the past. And she said, "What am I going to do?" I had one of the most brilliant thoughts you've ever saw. I said, Mary, in the morning, about a block before you get there, start singing. I thought if there's anything that'll drive a devil up a wall, it's Mary singing. She said, what can I sing? I said, victory in Jesus. Glory! Old Clyde told me what happened when she went in the next morning. He said, you know, I heard her drive up and thought there'd been a wreck out in the parking lot. Said it's, her voice sounded like breaking glass. And said she come to the door and she didn't open it, she kicked it in. Come into the factory singing victory in Jesus, a big old tear streaming down her cheek. Yeah. He said the employees started shouting and praising God. Oh, don't let the devil tie you up! If the devil can tie you up, Sunday school teacher, and make you quit your class, if the devil can tie you up and make you get out of this choir, if the devil can tie you up and make you drop out of church, he'll do it! And he'll use anything in his toolbox he can to tie you up! Years later, I was in another city, in another state, and I was going to Sears Roebuck early one morning. And I was walking to the door, and I met a lady and never paid much attention to her. And I was ready for the reaching for the door. Heard the lady that I'd met say, Dr. Blue! And I turned and looked, and guess who it was? It was Mary. You ever see that silly commercial on television where two people going like this? Now, there's some of you super saints here. You're going to get your feathers all ruffled up and say, you didn't. I did. I met that old ex-prostitute. We put our arms around each other and we wept and cried right there on the street. While she was hugging me and kissing me on the cheek and crying, she said, I still can't sing. You ever hear Paul Harvey say, now the rest of the story? I said, Mary, what are you doing? And she said, preacher, I have my master's degree now. That's not all the story. She said, I have my doctorate. An old ex-harlot that God reached down in a little old revival one night, took her up in his arm and washed her sins away and forgot all about the sins she had done and made her a new creature. Hallelujah! I'm saved and I know that I am. And I said, Mary, what do you mean you got your master's and your doctorate? She said, I'm a head of a department in a seminary. Look what you want. You know the reason some of you lost your joy? You forgot where God brought you from. Some of you just kind of lukewarm, you know. You're not really effective anymore. You used to be. You used to work for God. You used to be in church. You used to have... But now, the devil's got you tied up. Hello? Am I right? Maybe there's some preacher that used to preach right here, right now. used to take this book in the pulpit. You shed tears when you. Devil's got you. Well, you said you don't know what happened to me. I don't care what happened to you. Don't make no difference what happened to you. God's still on his throne. Hello? Doubt. Someone said, well, I'm so saved, there's never no chance of me ever doubting. You're dumb as a box of rocks. You really are. You can look in the person's eyes like that and tell there ain't nobody home. What you mean? You're so highly elevated spiritually, you could never doubt. Here's old Brother John in prison. And he called his disciples and said, now, fellas, go down there and find Jesus. See, that devil had got in that cell with him. He took out his rope of doubt. Hello? Preacher, has the devil said, well, I don't believe God wants you here no more. I don't believe God can use you here no more. I believe God's through with you here. Got awful quiet, didn't he? And here the disciples went down to find Jesus, and they found him. And they said, Jesus, John sent us down here and said, we want us to ask you a question. Are you the one that's come, or should we look for another? John doubted. Hello? Am I right, Brother Lawson? He doubted. Doubt is a tool the devil can use so effectively. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. I may not be saved. I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I prayed, and I meant it. And I felt so good, and the joy of God, and the peace. But I don't know whether I'm saved now or not. I really may not be saved. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Lord God, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Huh? Hello? Oh, God, I don't know. I may not be saved. Maybe I ought to go look up Benny Hinn. He might breathe on me. Benny Chicken. Well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I just don't know. I think I'll quit going to church. Oh, God, I think I'm going to quit. I don't think I'm saved. You think I'm saved? Listen to me. You listen well. I'm not an easy believism man. I believe in the Holy Ghost conviction that makes you aware of your sinfulness. I believe in the Holy Spirit of God that comes to you and convicts you of your sin. I believe that. I also believe this. If we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you that are saved believe that? Stand up. That's the way it happened. You can be seated. And the blessed thing about it, God's still doing it the same way. I'm giving out. Have to hurry. Have to hurry. A lot of things the devil will tie you with. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, I'm the most unsports-minded person you ever saw. Not a thing wrong with it. If you like football, baseball, what, if you like it, fine. Just don't let it tie you up. Now, my blessed wife, she likes baseball. Here's the picture you'd find in our living room. I've got my little laptop computer sitting right here. My wife, when they're on, she's sitting right over there watching that baseball. Lord God. I'd rather watch dead grass grow. I'd rather watch a mud hole go dry. Gag a maggot. Somebody will take that stick and knock that ball out of the park, and she said, "Did you see it?" I said, "What?" I'll let you quit laughing. You want your heart to break? The next time a game, football, or whatever's on, look at the stadiums packed, and they'll even sit in the rain and snow. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hello? What's got you all tied up? Music? How anybody with any intelligence call that music, I don't know. I was sitting at a traffic light the other day. Don't tell me you used that same light. I'm sitting there, Brother Larry, and all of a sudden I start... Something was going boom, 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 and my car started rocking. And they had the audacity to call it music. He left, and he's halfway up the block, and mine's still sitting there going. Dope. We're living in a needle age. A pill-popping age. Listen to me. I heard a statistic just the other day. Did you know? I can't remember the statistic. I forget how many millions of people that the doctors have got on drugs. My brother that's dead was one of those victims. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil's tying men and women up by the multitudes. I've got to come to a close. I'm give out. Let me ask you tonight. Somebody's sitting here right now. You're in the numb stage. You used to be effective. You used to work for God. You used to be in the field for the Lord. But now, you're numb. Your Bible lays unread. You quit tithing. You go places you used to wouldn't go.
You do things you used to wouldn't do. What happened? The devil's got you all tied up.
I want my choir director to come now, please. Look at me. Look up here at me. I'm not trying to put on a show. A lot of preachers fuss at me because of my style, the way I deliver a message. You preach the way God wants you to preach. And shut up about the way I preach. Look around and see how many babies are asleep on me. And then let me hear you the next time you preach, and let me see how many adults are asleep on you. Amen. Where's my choir? Oh, there he is. Look up here at me. Now, Brother James, you don't know what I'm going to say. But in my prayer time, I feel in my soul God wants to give us one of the greatest revivals ever hit this country. I believe what I'm saying. I believe what I'm saying. I believe what I'm saying. God wants to give this place and this country one of the greatest revivals. Not because I'm here, not because this church is here, but I believe God wants to come in here and do something. I want you to get free tonight. If the sun shall make you free, you're free indeed. I want you to play softly, dear. Would you please, please, softly. I want every head bowed. I want every eye closed. I don't want nobody to look around. Don't want anybody to look around. I wonder if there's somebody in this house right now that said, "Preacher, they're already coming to the altar. They're already coming." Some of you right now, the devil's got numb and dead and cold. He's got you tied up. They're already coming. Habits, some old dirty habits got you all tied up. Some of you right now, your little old kids, it's a long time since they saw a family altar. Come on, the altar's going to be full in a minute. Come on, get up. Don't let the devil tie you up. Come on, right now. Let God speak to your heart. Let God speak to that old cold heart. Devil's got you all tied up. Oh, God, do something. God, do something. Let's stand, please. Let's stand. Choir director, I want you to sing the selection you started. I want us to sing tonight. While we sing, I want you to come right now. Wherever you're at, I want you to walk out and come. Sing it, brother.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior.
Come on.
Not of this world delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine.
There's nothing
between.
Sing it, folks.
Nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that His blessed
grace may be. Some of you right now, let God fill that heart.
Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing be.
Brother James, I've got to sit down. You go take charge, okay?